Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
College football game, John. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Brought to you in part by Dos Equis. Keep it classy until kickoff. Time for us to head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. We say hello to our friend Brandon Adams from Dog Nation, dognation.com. Check out his podcast, Dog Nation Daily. Brandon, kind enough to give us a little bit of time each and every week here. And Brandon, let's start with this. Georgia coming off a big win on Saturday. What's it been like this week around Athens and the Georgia program?
Well, I think there's been the question of, as you said, when you have a big win like this, we've all been watching college football our entire life, and I think we're all kind of trained for, ooh, big environment at home, next week on the road, it's going to be nighttime, it's going to be cold. This sort of sets off alarm bells, I think, for a lot of us, maybe not in terms of Georgia losing the game, but certainly bringing in a 17-point spread into play. I think the number's actually down a little bit from that. And yet, the sense that I get, and obviously it's hard to read into this. If we could read into this, we'd all be millionaires. But the sense that I get is that Georgia has kind of moved off the Tennessee game pretty well. It seems like there's been pretty good level of focus. To give you just a quick example, Kirby Smart was on SportsCenter on Thursday night and talked about how, you know, he was ready to do all these sort of mechanisms to get the team ready to, you know, kind of think about Mississippi State. And yet he said they were already ready to do that. So I guess we'll take Kirby at his word here. It would be an easy spot to come out flat, and yet right. Georgia has a memory this season of how tricky the road atmosphere can get if you do that, obviously referencing the Missouri game. So maybe Georgia plans on avoiding that today.
But yeah, did anything surprise you last weekend in the Tennessee game?
Well, I think the pleasant surprise was the fact that Georgia established a pass rush that it really had not had all year long. And it's almost like the NBA thing where when you really need to, some teams just sort of find a way to turn it on, and maybe at other points of the season, they're kind of on autopilot. I'm not saying that's what Georgia was, but there was the appearance of that a little bit where, hey, earlier this year, either because they didn't feel like they had to or they just didn't really feel like they wanted to, Georgia just was not getting after quarterbacks. And on Saturday, they got after Hooker relentlessly, and that's what a national championship team does. It's not just about limiting yards, and it's not just about limiting points. You've got to be impactful and dynamic on defense. And last week, when Georgia really needed to, it definitely was.
Brandon, do we think that, I guess, one is, did Georgia maybe take their foot off the gas pedal in that second half? And was that weather? Was that, hey, we feel like we've got this thing, there's no need to put ourselves in any sort of danger? Feels like that game could have had a 40 spot put up by Georgia if they really wanted to.
And, you know, the SEC Network captured some video of Kirby in the locker room, basically celebrating with the team, but essentially admitting that he addressed Stetson Bennett directly in this locker room video and said, hey, Stetson, we took the ball out of your hands today, and referenced the weather, reason for that. Now, listen, you could debate whether or not that's a smart strategy or not. You know, Kirby kind of played to the last shot at the end of the half and had to settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown. So you can kind of debate if being that conservative with the lead was the right thing to do, because let's face it, you know, Tennessee was driving to turn it into a one-score game late, and ultimately they didn't get it, so it worked out for Kirby. But there is some room for debate of, you know, should you have deflated the ball as much as Georgia did kind of late in that game? But it's pretty obvious that is what Georgia did.
Brandon Adams from DogNation.com, Dog Nation Daily, his podcast available wherever you download your podcast from. He's hanging with us on college football game time. Jalen Carter played 48 snaps last week, Brandon, coming back from an injury. Was that a surprise last week?
He's been a surprise to me the entire time. Y'all, he just wasn't practicing a couple of weeks ago. And you know, it was one of those things of, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but I was kind of wondering, is this like a George Pickens situation where he kind of comes in and gives you sort of a token appearance in like a national championship game just so you can say that he played? I mean, I don't mean to be so fatalistic about it, but I had really kind of gotten, I'm of course a Georgia fan, I'd kind of got a little discouraged about, you know, whether or not, you know, Carter was going to even get back out there again. And then he played way more in the Florida game than I thought he would. And he was just back to being a game wrecker again against Missouri, you know, I should say against Tennessee this past Saturday. It's really remarkable. And I don't think you can say enough about Carter individually, because the Georgia defense has been such an ensemble cast, you know, going back to obviously last year when you had 5 first round picks, but there would have been people last year that would have told you that Carter is as talented, if not more talented than any of them. In fact, Trayvon Walker, who became the number one overall pick in last year's draft, he used to rave about Jalen Carter all the time during practice. So, you know, Carter had plenty of admirers even last year. And this year he kind of gets overshadowed a little bit too, because a lot of people assume, I'm talking about outside of our market, but a lot of people sort of assume, you know, Georgia lost all of its talent defensively because all those guys went on to the NFL. But, I mean, the fact is Jalen Carter is going to be right there in the same kind of draft conversations that I believe that Trayvon Walker and the other guys were a year ago. This is a premier NFL draft prospect, an unbelievable player when he's healthy. He certainly proved that again last Saturday.
Yeah, do you think this the carry disparity, and I'm talking about last week where Dejon had 16 and Kenny McIntosh had 10. Kendall Milton was back, had 3 carries. Do you think it's one of those situations where they're just trying to bring him back slowly for this stretch run?
I think so, and, you know, that's another example of a guy in Milton's case who, you know, for a long time just wasn't practicing very much. And that sounds like he's been doing more and more and more, and I think it was a nice, you know, sort of, you know, statement that he was back playing again last Saturday. But, you know, this is one of those deals where at times, you know, Dell McGee, the running backs coach, and, you know, the Georgia coaching staff, they just have a little bit more of a rotation with the running backs than some fans want. I thought that Kenny McIntosh last week kind of really had it going, and I almost wanted to see more of McIntosh at times.
Right.
But I have to admit here, there have also been moments this year in which I thought that Dejon Edwards looked like this team's best running back, which is ultimately probably why they rotate the way they do, and that, you know, at different moments, different guys seem to be giving that spark. But whether it's too much of one guy, not enough of another guy, or, you know, an equal balance like it, you know, kind of has been close to being, I think one of the big stories for Georgia is this team right now is just running the ball so much better than it was at the beginning of the season. And this is a little bit more of Georgia being Georgia. This is the blueprint. Obviously, they're throwing it pretty well. You know, Stetson threw for 2 touchdowns last week. But they're finding a little bit more of a spark on the ground, and that's just more of a replicable game plan for this team, I believe.
And, B.A., as we look to this week, I mean, look, Mississippi State, considering that teams are going to throw a lot with them, they're actually a pretty good pass defense. Middle of the road, run defense-wise, is this a game where Georgia's running game really – kind of focuses? I mean, it was kind of, I don't know, it wasn't bad against Tennessee, but it was kind of stagnant in a lot of ways. I mean, you take away, you know, Stetson's 113-yard run, they didn't really average a lot of yards per carry in that game last week. Is this a week where you try to get that back on track?
Well, I think so, and I think y'all know this, but maybe a lot of the folks listening don't, is the Mike Leach version that we kind of saw at Texas Tech years ago or at Washington State years ago. This really isn't the same thing at Mississippi State. This is a little bit more of an SEC-ified version of Mike Leach here, in that I think that the Mississippi State teams he's been a part of are by far and away the best defenses he's ever had on his coaching staff. And, you know, they're a little bit more, I'll say, running back oriented. They throw to backs a good bit and, you know, try to run it some too. But, you know, they're a little bit more running back oriented maybe than would have been in the past. And so when you do play Mississippi State, they are going to kind of challenge you physically a little bit, more so than you would think an old-school Mike Leach team might do. I mean, go back to the 2020 game. Georgia didn't run the ball at all that day against Mississippi State. JT Daniels, you know, made his debut, threw 400 yards, but there was zero rushing attack, and Georgia only scored 31 points that day. So, you know, that gives you a little bit of an idea that you can get into a situation with Mississippi State where you don't necessarily just run it always as easily as you want to, but knowing that you're on the road, knowing that you might want to keep, you know, they're passing attack at bay or, you know, whatever. Understanding all of that, this might be a scenario where, yeah, you know, Georgia goes out there and tries to establish the run. And frankly, from here on out, I believe, you know, that's going to be a big part of what Georgia does in every game. Making that Oregon game from week one, in which Georgia just didn't really run it very much at all, making that a very, very big outlier on the rest of the season.
College football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brandon Adams from DogNation.com. He's he does every week about this time. We talk a little Georgia football. Brandon, Randy's brought it up a couple of times about opportunities for Todd Monken to be ahead after this season is over. Have you heard any rumblings, rumors, anything like that?
Well, definitely certain jobs pop up, and you see Monken as a candidate, and I guess now you'll start looking at, I don't know, you know, I know the South Florida job just came open, for instance, and, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, Monken has proven himself to be a great offensive coordinator at Georgia, and yet if I'm thinking about that, you know, job that he might land at, you sort of feel like that kind of high group of five might be the right place for this. I mean, you would assume that a coach like this, who's been a head coach before, has those aspirations at some point of taking that next step with his career, but he's also making more than $2 million at Georgia. So it's not like he feels like, I'm sure, that he has to leave. This is also a former play caller in the NFL, and that might be a coveted job for him too. But there's no doubt that prior to this season, you know, Georgia ponied up in a big way to spend for Monken. So it's not like he's, you know, Georgia's extra vulnerable about losing, and they certainly paid him well enough that you might be able to kind of avoid that. But at the same time, I mean, if you're going to have a successful coaching staff, you're going to be targeting upwardly mobile men. And in the case of Monken, that's, you know, certainly an example of that. So as the coaching carousel spins a little bit more, my guess is we probably hear Munkin's name show up a little bit. I don't think it's for like the Auburn job quite as much as it's probably more for like these sort of high group of five jobs, like a South Florida or something like that. And, you know, I'm guessing we could hear that name coming up. But I've also been told that, you know, his wife loves Athens. Obviously, he's well paid enough that you think he probably would there too. So it would probably take a really good opportunity to make him think about wanting to go somewhere else.
College football game time. Brandon Adams hanging with us.
Appreciate
Brandon, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, BA.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Enjoy the games.
All right, it's Brandon Adams from Dog Nation. He spends a few minutes with us every week. We'll go around the country, give you our max of the week. We'll do it next. It's our coaches, players, coordinators.
Oh, wait, sorry. This is Randy's second. Sorry, I get confused.
Stop hating.
Calm down, John. You've had your turn. Sorry. Let Randy have his moment now. We'll do it next. College football game time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.